know what's going on? Maybe it's another drill.
Commence primary ignition.
Four Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Breaking News.
There are stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it.
I have waited a long time for this moment.
Well, I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
This will be a day long remembered.
I heard a great disturbance in the Force.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Punch it!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Star Wars Breaking News, a Four Midwest Guys production. Today, we will be talking about, a little bit of breaking, literally breaking news. They cast
Donald Glover
as Lando Calrissian in the upcoming Han Solo movie. And then we're going to get into the trailer number three. We're going to break it down for you for Rogue One. With me, help me to do that today, is Mr. Brian Eckenbauer.
What's up, what's up?
What's going on, B? And my brother, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
How's it going, guys? All right, so let's talk about it. Mr. Donald Glover is...
You can also refer to him as Childish Gambino, if you like, if you've ever listened to any of his
albums. Somebody at work was telling me that today, that he's this rapper that I've never heard of before.
He's a musician.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he started off doing, like, acting, but he also has, like, a stand-up thing on Netflix that's pretty funny as well.
Really?
Yeah. And then he started actually doing music as Childish Gambino, and he now is on the show Atlanta on FX. It's pretty good.
Okay.
So he's an interesting kind of guy in that he's kind of an entertainer all around, I think.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. What do you think, Brian? What do you think about him casting as a
younger fantastic.
Lando?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Watching him on Community, which is where he was first came out, really. He was a comedian before that. Mm. But he got his first major role on Community.
Okay.
Where he played Troy.
All right, yeah.
So they did the Troy and Abed skits and everything else, and he played this, like, really nerdy kind of character that knew a lot about Star Wars and knew a lot about Star Trek and all that kind of stuff. So you can tell he at least has some kind of background in understanding it, because the way he portrayed it on TV, it was not just something where you read about it. It was something that he's actually...
Yeah, well, I mean,
you knew.
There was that bit of controversy a few years back where they were considering actually casting him as Spider-Man, which I thought would have been a good choice, and it was a role he was pretty excited for, I think. And you can clearly tell, like, there was some interest and, you know, like, enjoyment of the series. So.
Right, yeah. So he definitely gets into it. And then he did the... he left Community to pursue his musical career.
Okay.
As that... What is it called? Childish Gambino?
Yeah.
And most recently... He was on the new show Atlanta getting great reviews.
Yeah, if you guys haven't caught it, it's actually a really decent show.
So I know I've seen him in nothing so far. I intend to do some research. I intend to watch some Community episodes.
Yeah. Watch Community.
Maybe try to catch the Atlanta F series. Maybe I don't know.
I think his stand-up special is on Netflix.
Yeah, so. I'll probably do that as well. My question is, what I'm wondering is, can he capture the swagger that Billy D. Williams created with Lando Calrissian?
I think so.
Without mocking it.
There's a difference in, like, the type of humor he normally goes with and, like, how Lando Calrissian's humor kind of works in the Star Wars films, which might make that a little weird in casting, but if he modifies it a little bit and kind of makes his own, I think it could work.
Well, you gotta give him I was reading the article about that, and he was... They're talking about the Lando Calrissian is not going to be the same one that Billy Dee Williams portrayed.
Well, he's going to be younger.
So. Well, he's going to be younger, and this is his rise in the underworld of the galaxy. So, you're not going to see all the swagger.
That's too bad, because I kind of like Lando with the swag. Like, in Rebels, he has the swag.
By the time you really see him, like, he's kind of set himself up. Like, he's kind of risen to the top a little bit. He's running
experienced. Cloud City, yeah. Mm. He's running Bespin, so. But yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm not going to judge yet because I haven't seen any of his work, so it's kind of a blank slate for me.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of hopes and a lot of fears, obviously.
Let me know when you're going to watch Community, because I'll watch it with you.
All right.
It's one of my favorite series.
Yeah. Okay.
It had a couple D&D episodes that were pretty funny that I caught. Yeah. I think, to be honest, I'd be more concerned about the guy they cast as to play Han Solo in that, because pretty much the only films I've seen him in are where he's like in old Hollywood sort of things. Like, I think he was in Hail Caesar, and then I think he had like a smaller role in like Cafe Society as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I only saw the trailer for that.
Yeah, I there's another blank slate for me. I'll be honest, I haven't seen him in much of anything. And
well, he's only really been acting for last like several years, right?
Well, not only that, I'm not sure, to be honest. The other thing I would say that because I haven't had a chance to research him either yet. I can only tell you what I saw at Star Wars Celebration. What I saw at Star Wars Celebration was somebody who was very overwhelmed and, you know, was just, I think, overtaken by the entire experience. So it's hard to judge how he captured it. He was the first. All I can tell you about that guy that I can't remember the actor's name. It's horrible.
Yeah, I can't either.
Anyway, he was the first one they screen test. And then they went out and they kept looking and looking and looking. And nobody was better than him. So they literally spent a ton of money.
I don't know. They showed that one guy, and it's not this guy. It was a different guy. And he had the smile and mannerisms and everything. And I was like, how then? This other guy must be really good for them not to choose that one that leaked out.
Well, from what I've understood, they screen tested the ones they really liked against in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, the rebuild Falcon, with Chewbacca next to him, and they judged the charisma and the play off of that. So so apparently he did the best, because they ended up going out searching for everything and they came back to him, because that was the one that stood out. So if he stood out against hundreds of others, or then I'd say maybe they're on the right track. I don't know. I will say one thing though, now that we know that Lando has been cast, obviously Lando's in the movie. How much do you think we'll see of Lando? Is he going to be the co-star like Chewbacca, or will he have a more minor role, maybe? Or
I think he'll have a pretty fairly big role.
It really don't think depends it'll be a cameo on how they want to write it, like that. To be honest, like they could write it to where he's a very central part of the storyline, or he could be written into where he's a minor character setting up for something later on.
I was going to say we might actually see him in like a third of the movie,
where
it's just like. We're seeing the behind-the-scenes stuff with the Millennium Falcon, the smuggling stuff, how they get to know each other. So we might see him in part of it, and then they might part ways. Because if the way the spinoff works to fit in with, like, whatchamacallit? The latest Star Wars movie we just had.
Are you talking about Rogue One, or are you talking about Episode 7?
Episode 7.
Force Awakens, yeah.
Yeah, so... And we met Maz.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that she would have to play a role in this too.
Possibly.
Being as she was his...
A character he was affiliated with.
Yeah. And from his history, from his past, from his smuggling days.
Well, that's
she
also,
taught me what I know.
Or she introduces the two, maybe.
Yeah, so you'd think that she would have a part in this other one too.
Yeah.
Just to kind of tie it in.
Yeah, so, it'd be a nice little cameo sort of thing, if nothing else. And it's also kind of in debate about whether they just want to do a singular, like, young Han Solo film, or whether they actually want to spread that out into multiple films as well.
And that's the other question is, I don't see this really being a buddy cop kind of thing between Han and Lando necessarily, so I hope not.
See it either.
You know, I don't think you're going to see the adventures of Han and Lando, Lethal Weapon style, across the galaxy.
He jumps across the hood of the Millennium Falcon, slides across, shoots some guns, and then Lando goes, I'm getting too old for this shit.
So... I don't know. We'll have to see. I think only time will tell. Obviously, we're going to get a lot more information. That movie's three and a half years away, I believe.
What, the Young Han Solo one?
Yeah, it's scheduled after Episode 8 in the summer. It is not a Christmas release.
So they wouldn't be like a summer blockbuster sort of thing?
Yeah.
That might suggest they kind of have high expectations of it, then.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, if it's competing in the summer, it's going to be competing with like other like comic book franchises.
Sure. So we're looking at 2018. Yeah.
So a year and a half away?
It has to be more than that, because you get Episode 8 next Christmas, and then they would be the following summer. So,
year and a half.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe, yeah, maybe it's just a year and a half away. It seems like it should be longer, though.
Not the, I mean, we're at towards getting towards the end of 2016. I mean,
because it's every year is a Star Wars movie. So yeah, this year it's Rogue One for 16. 17 is Episode 8. 18, so it would be the summer of 2018.
So, year and a half.
Yeah, about a year and a half to two. Yeah. Three,
year and a half.
Year and a half, year and three quarters. Yeah. Roughly. Yeah. So.
It's not too bad. I mean, yeah, in terms, so realistically, they'll probably actually even start, like, so, filming in the next year or so.
And technically, he is the second one to be cast, so that might be another indication that he is going to have a fairly big role to play in the movie.
Yeah, so. Well, it could also be that maybe Chewbacca is already kind of
cast. Well, he is cast. I mean, he's, you know, I doubt Peter's...
No, he already said he's not.
Yeah, so...
Well, I mean, Peter at the same time, like, it seems like because of how much of, like, the costume and animatronics kind of play a role, yeah, in that, it's, I mean, it's probably not as big a cast.
Well, and they had another guy working with Peter to take over the role in 7. And I imagine it'll be that same guy. He's a big, tall dude.
They said the reason why they cast him so early,
yeah,
was because of the, they were worried about it interfering with Atlanta season 2.
Oh, is that already confirmed for a second season?
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, like, it's a good show. I'm impressed that happened so quickly.
So they were worried about it, so what they wanted to do was lock him in first so that the Atlanta
couldn't say he's committed.
Right, and they could adjust their schedule to fit around
Star Wars. Instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
It makes sense. So they must be pretty high on him, I guess. I guess they knew it right away, or they at least had an idea. So, all right. So, but yeah, we'll definitely be seeing a ton more news, and we'll keep commenting. Obviously, I'm definitely not going to stop. So, all right. So let's get down to the meat and the potatoes of the podcast tonight, which was and still is going to be the we had the Rogue One trailer number 3 drop last weekend. What I would expect to be the final trailer, probably, other than TV spots and whatnot.
Spots or international spots?
They might have one international trailer yet to come, but...
That shows a bunch more footage like they did last time.
well, yeah, like 2 scenes or something. Yeah. But this should be probably it, hopefully. We'll see. So let's just get right into the trailer. The first scene, it opens up with what I call Galen and Jim's homeworld. Again, you get that big giant shot. You get very pristine. It's not gritty. It's very clean looking, just visually stunning opening with the Krennic shuttle kind of flying all over into their homeland. I thought it was a great shot. What did you guys think about that shot?
I liked it.
Yeah. What'd you think?
It was very well shot. I mean, you definitely see kind of a nice color contrast.
Right.
And, I mean, it gives you kind of a feel for the land, so to speak.
Yeah. Then we also see the iconic moisture evaporators, which are synonymous from the very first Star Wars.
Honestly, I didn't even realize that's what they were at first.
Yeah.
Though I guess that might play a role into why there's actually grass around them.
Yeah, I think Brian had pointed that out when we watched it. You said
yeah, we were watching the trailer and everything else around it was all dead.
Dead.
And everything on the inside of it was all green.
Inside the perimeter of the moisture evaporators was alive.
Right. The other thing I noticed about that planet or homeland, homeworld, was how crisp it looked.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that the Empire wasn't there. For me, the Empire feels like...
Yeah, it's kind of a totalitarian,
like thing. like downtown Detroit, or you know what I mean, like with the smoke and the smog and everything else, because of the machines.
It takes a very industrial dystopian sort of
thing.
Like
that's what Empire feels like to me, sure. And it has like a that haze or fog around everything. And whenever you get to the rebellion stuff, it's always the
crisp,
you know, mountain air or whatever, where you don't see that fog and stuff, and everything looks kind of clean, and you have that.
You have that weird hippie commune thing
This is nice looking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Jedi dude kind of feel. Yeah. Just
eco-propaganda.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, Brian. So we're introduced to Galen Erso, Jin's father, who's played by Mads Mikkelsen. And he says to her, you know, everything I do is to keep you safe. So right away, we're kind of getting the expectation that this guy's going to do whatever it takes
to keep his daughter safe. And Brian, you and I have daughters, so we know what that's like. You know, you do whatever you got to do,
mm-hmm.
right, to keep. And so, to me, that says, does that mean perhaps that he's being blackmailed by Krennic, by who's played by Ben Mendelsohn? Maybe he's being forced to do this, or he's trying to keep the Empire away from his daughter.
It could play out like that, or it's just he made a compromise, kind of knowing the Empire is the more powerful force.
Possibly, or maybe, like, I don't know, what do you think, Brian? You think he's trying to keep her safe, and he'll do whatever it takes to
right, well, that's, yes, so. That's what it kind of looks like. He's doing whatever it'll take to get them off of that world, because when they show that later clip,
yeah,
she's kind of hiding in the bushes or
and
something.
He's you know come I mean? To get him,
and, yeah. and he walked all the way out there to meet them, as opposed to letting them come all the way into the to the house.
Yeah,
so it's almost like
it has that sort of trade off kind of feel.
Yeah, like
to it.
I'm gonna leave.
I surrender.
Exactly, like yeah. I surrender. There's nobody left at the house, and then she gets kind of left alone, and he's doing it to save her. So I don't know.
Yeah. So next scene. That whole scene is apparently like a dream sequence because you kind of see her wake up and she's in an Imperial prison. Now,
It could also be kind of like a memory flashback sort of thing as well.
She kind of looks like she's kind of nodding off to the side. She kind of startles and wakes up. But when she wakes up, she's in an Imperial prison. I kind of like that idea because like in the other trailers, she just seemed kind of like a troublemaker, like a teen troublemaker.
Like the rebel just brought her and was like, hey, stop messing up our bases.
Yeah, you've been screwing with this. You're
like the Ezra.
Yeah, kind of like a teenager kind of thing. But at least this time, you at least get the feel that, yeah, maybe she's a major, not just a troublemaker. She's not a pain in the ass. She's an actual rebel on her own, obviously, rebelling right. against the Empire on her own. And it's really gotten her some serious trouble.
Yeah, so maybe she's better than Ezra.
Maybe she is better than Ezra. And that's a good title for a band. Remember that.
Yeah. That sounds good to me.
The other thing
the reference?
Yeah.
It's a band name. Better than Ezra.
Better than Ezra.
Their song name is Good.
Yeah, I don't remember that
It
at
was
all.
Good living with you. Anyway. Before your time, dude. Anyway.
Okay. Fair enough.
We're dating ourselves.
Man. I know.
80s band?
80s no. band. Kiss my ass. 80s band. We ain't that old.
What?
We're not that old, dude. 90s. We grew up in the 90s, man.
You grew up in like in the mid to late 80s.
No.
What?
We were in high school in the
90s. I graduated in 97.
I'm nine class of 96. Okay. Anyway. All right. Millennials, what do you do with them? Anyway. So it appears that it's also that desert planet again. Because you see the Star Destroyers up above. Yeah, so that I'm assuming it's that elevated city that we've seen from the other trailers.
Yeah.
So from what we've seen from the other trailers in the past, do you think this? I think it's Jedha again. So maybe she's actually on the Jedi. You know,
I don't think so.
Possibly. I'm not really sure.
I think it's. I think Jedha is the desert planet. I really do.
You think she's on the desert planet?
Yeah,
you think she's on the Jedi planet?
Yeah, I do. I think she is. I think the Empire. She's looking for something, or she does something to screw with the Empire. Because I think she's working with Saul at first.
So it's a different planet than what she grew up on.
Yes.
Okay, then
yes.
I can believe that. Yes.
Yes, I think
because I was like, I don't think that she would.
Well, because we've also, and this is actually later in the notes, but we also see another shot of the fallen Jedi. The giant,
which
statue,
was pretty cool,
which is cool, because you see a ship and it's like tiny Miniscule, little ant, yeah. and there's this huge you know, giant.
They reminded me of like Lord of the Rings statues.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah,
it's really. To like me, it reminds me of like those giant Buddhas they carve like in like Southeast Asia, like out like in the mountains and stuff.
Yeah, but this one looked to me it looked like it was a statue that was once upright and then it just fell over.
It was clearly damaged.
Yeah, it was just laying there. It looked like a mountain range now. In the middle of nowhere. I think that was pretty cool. I like the idea that the rebels are breaking her out for a reason. And it's not just coincidence that she shows up with the rebels. You
see?
Know?
And I'm not so sure. Because they're breaking other people out of there, too. And what does he say?
Well, he brings up her father in the next scene, but...
Right, but before that, though, he goes...
You want to get out?
Do you want to get out of here?
Yeah. So you think it still might be coincidence?
I think it still might be coincidence until
there's someone just in a cell over there breaking
until,
out.
Until they realize who she is.
Yeah, and put two and two together.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's not the case. I'd rather them be looking for her. I don't know. Just as their more intelligent angle rather than happenstance. But that's the rebellion, I guess.
But that's the Force.
Yeah, yeah.
The Force makes things happen.
Force makes things happen. All is the Force will. Yeah, okay.
I feel like there's like a way we could pretty much, they could write anything into the Star Wars universe and you can kind of bend it to work.
Yeah.
Well, that's anything. You can do that with anything.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're going with that kind of approach of the Force wills it to happen, like...
Well, that's the big line, Don. That's Donnie Yen's big tag. That's the tagline of the whole movie so far. Yeah,
like...
All this is the Force wills.
Oh, it's a great line. Yeah, I'm not arguing against it. I love how you had that kind of moment where you're like, all right, I guess we can make that work.
Well,
let's keep going.
Well, you just pointed it out to me and I made the connection. I'm like, okay, see? There it is. So, next big scene is we get to see more of the Yavin 4 Rebel base, or what I'm assuming is. It looks awful, a lot like the same base we see in Star Wars.
Yes.
A New Hope.
It looks the exact same.
Yeah. I don't think that's done on purpose.
Well, I mean, in terms of timeline, these should be almost like hours difference, really.
Yeah, well, I've been told that this thing ends 10 minutes before A New Hope starts. Yeah,
so I mean, so, there should be a lot of
places. I guess if you already have your DVD in, it would.
It would, right? Yeah. Okay, change it out.
Yeah, change it out. 10 minutes.
It's how long it takes for the credits to end.
Bathroom break.
We hear that, you know, they get the thing. The rebellion is the only thing standing up to the Empire, and they need her help. Her father, Galen, is involved somehow in this critical to creating the Death Star. They don't say Death Star, but major weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know what to call it yet.
And then she says, if he's involved, then we have to go get him.
Right. So that brings up another question. Is she working her own angle here? Is she out to save her father? Maybe that's her real goal and she's just going along with it. Or is it twofold where I'm going to save my father and it's bonus that I get to stick it to the Empire.
I think it's all about
how they write the character. I mean, you could make it be the second one where if she's already in prison for more or less just kind of sticking it to the Empire here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's could be an easy twofold sort of thing. Like, there's just mutually, you know, agreeing sort of goals.
I think she's actually in jail because she's poking her nose where it doesn't belong.
Trying to find her dad.
That
could be. That would be.
And that's why she came there, because she's heard of blah, 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 whatever.
Or she's looking for Saw Gerrera.
And she comes there, and that's how she ends up where she's at.
Okay. Very, very cool. Next scene is the big tie-in to the title of the film. They need a call sign. It's Rogue One. And then, there it is.
I know, it was like,
so, just their little comedic humor moment.
Kind of, yeah. It's kind of like, they're asking for a call sign. What should we use? Rogue One.
Sure. Could have gone way worse.
I know. Well, it's so funny that they do that nowadays with movie titles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they bring up the movie title inside of the movie, and it's like,
they work really hard to do it too.
Yeah,
at least this one wasn't too forced, but it was funny though. I thought
it was. Yeah, it was just like, really? Can I call it Rogue One? Really?
Asking for a call sign. I don't know. Rogue One.
Could be worse.
Could be worse.
Rogue 7, 8, 5, 4, 3, 2.
It's better than the director's thing. It's the Rogue One. So therefore, that's why we made it Rogue One. I was like, oh, that's horrible.
The Rogue One?
Because it's so it's the first standalone Star Wars movie, and it's different than the rest of the Star Wars. So it was the Rogue One, in quotations.
It was the Rogue One.
The Rogue One.
Well, technically, you only count that if you don't count, like, the Ewok films, or...
Right, well...
Like, the Christmas
official thing. Movies, not TV movies, or specials.
Okay.
Aside, which never existed.
they never existed. Okay. Kind of did.
No, the Star Wars never existed. Anyways, I try to wave my hand. But yeah, so yeah, it was a nice little throw-in. All right, so we move into what I like to call next is the power of the Death Star. We finally get to hear Ben Mendelsohn, a.k.a. director, Krennic, speak. And he's speaking to Darth Vader, and I found it fun. Was it just me, or I found it kind of humorous that he's trying to do his best Darth Vader impression to Darth Vader? Where he's like, the power. You don't understand the power of this weapon. And he's like clenching his fist and everything. I'm like, really?
Oh, I didn't even pick up.
I totally picked up on that. I was like,
I didn't pick up on that at all. I just figured that was the way that their generals all talk.
I was just like,
and that's why Vader talks the way he does, because he just picked it up. One of those bad habits.
I know Vader didn't learn it from Krennic. No,
that's what she said.
It's one of those things, like, you just hang around someone for so long, you just pick up minor little habits.
Exactly. Can you imagine if this Ben Mendelsohn's character, would use like the whole time says that's what she said, and like Vader goes around later, he's like, that's what she said.
I'm sure there's a lot
of places he could have used it.
I don't think it's that way. I just found it funny because he's literally doing his best Darth Vader impression when he's going to, you understand the power that this weapon.
I think he's just trying to emphasize how strongly he feels towards it.
Yeah,
it's
but
be
it
very
was
dramatic.
But I was like, yeah. It was like, wow. I was like, okay, that's somebody doing a really bad Vader impression saying the power of the dark side. If you only knew the power. I was like, okay, whatever.
That's what she said.
I love the iconic Death Star view screen. We got, you know, the...
Yes.
Yeah. Which way, you know, where they blew up Alderaan.
Mm-hmm. Like the planet with the flames?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked even the weapon control officer. That kind of took me back. I was like, I must have had five or six of those guys.
Are we talking about...
That's the guy with the funny helmet?
Yes.
Darth helmet.
Your Darth helmet moment. Yeah. Yes. The one you describe as Darth helmet.
It really does kind of look like the dude from Spaceballs, though, right?
It does, but... Spaceballs came later, so...
Well, I understand that.
Not for Aaron.
Not for you, yeah, but...
Yeah, like, I might have seen Spaceballs first, but it's not like I hold that to be a better film.
But for me and Brian, and I'm sure, Brian, you probably had five or six of these guys.
Yeah, I had a couple of them.
Yeah, and we were, you know, it just kind of took me back. I was like, there he is.
You know, and every time you see him, what sound do you get in your head? You know, because you get the when they're doing the controls on the thing.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah. Every time.
And then the next scene is kind of in parallel. It's the rebels freaking out, and they're like, if they have this kind of power, what kind of chance do we have? So it kind of shows just that the rebels are freaking out, and that why are we even bothered?
The Empire brought out a Hulk, essentially.
There's nowhere.
It's a planet destroyer.
You can't really hide from that.
Yeah.
You know,
not so much.
They're going to come around and just blow up your planet. You're pretty much screwed.
Doesn't matter where you hide on that planet. Whole thing's going to go.
Yeah, it's literally the ultimate weapon of mass destruction.
Well, at least until you get to, like, Starkiller Base. And then you get to blow up three for the price of one.
Well, yeah, and then you can take out entire solar systems and take out suns and...
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, we won't get into that. So the next scene, though, is the answer to that. To that whole thing. If they have this kind of power, what kind of chance do we have? And we go right to Jin, and it's like, rebellions are built on hope. We have hope. And it's all the answer to the impossible odds.
We even have a new hope.
Yes, we have a new hope. And it is. It's kind of foreshadowing that in a lot of ways. It's all about hope and rebellions built on hope. They don't know we're coming. It's the imminent surprise. And then you get the Donnie Yen, a.k.a. I still can't pronounce his name right. Churrit Imwe, who is, we've described
Churrit as... Churrit Imwe.
Imwe.
The Force Monk.
Our Force Monk. You have to take hold of this moment. The Force is strong. What'd you guys think of that whole scene, I guess? That whole first part of that scene?
I'm not a big fan of him so far.
You don't like Donnie Yen at all? Really? No. I do. I'm digging him.
No, but I.
But you just want him to have a lightsaber, right? Is that it?
Pretty much. Like, I'm sorry, but he's got a bamboo pole and he's going against
blasters. Yeah, but it's bringing in, like, kind of a cool, like, kung fu sort of element into it.
It is, but I think it needed to be a lightsaber. Or, like, a dual.
A dual blade?
Dual blade lightsaber or something that, like.
He can at least fight Vader.
But I mean, if you look at like, that he just could, like the techniques for, you know, like a staff, it's really different from like a dual bladed sword or anything like that.
I understand that, but they have guns. Your staff is no match for my guns.
Well, I mean, that's like having that sort of character going up against guns with bullets. Like, you have to just kind of work around that they're really bad aims or he's really quick.
Well, not only do you have bad aim, but you also have, he seems to have his, I don't know if it's his brother. or if he's just his friend, the bigger dude, that the weapon specialist. He comes in and Donnie Yen knocks them all down at first. More coming, then he just blasts them all to hell.
Well, that's what I got. Yeah. It looked like he was hitting them at first. They all surrounded him because he was blind.
Yeah.
And then he started hitting them.
Yeah.
And then like he was getting ready to hit him again, and it looked like the guy behind him shot and killed him all at once.
Mm. Yeah, he did.
Maybe besides like the staff thing, he actually does have like force abilities,
Which would be fine. We haven't seen it yet.
He just stops like bullets, like Kylo Ren.
Oh, he does the Matrix thing, and he's like, no.
And bullet bounces back.
But I don't know. I think it sets up real nice. I think this it's gonna be some one of the themes of this movie is gonna be the Death Star is a main character.
The entire premise.
The premise like for the film.
The mechanics that sets up everything in motion.
Right, exactly. So it's going to be about the industrialism of the Empire versus this ragtag group of underdogs, literally, you know, trying to save the world.
Well, yeah, the story is far less interesting from the other perspective. Like, if you're just watching the Empire just squash out rebellion after rebellion.
Well, right.
With the expectation that they're going to win most of the time, it becomes a far less entertaining concept to watch. Unless you just really just like seeing shit get blown up.
Yeah. But they reiterate as the scene goes on. You know, you got Captain Cassian, a.k.a. Diego Luna. He goes on saying, well, the Force makes 10 men feel like 100, and at least I think they're referring to the Force. It's two different scenes, so I think they are,
but it's one of those. That was one of the weirdest lines in the entire trailer.
What?
10 men?
That the Force. Force. It makes 10 men feel like 100.
Force. The Force is like steroids.
Force rage. Powdered rhino horn.
Yeah.
Makes men strong.
But, you know, they just keep reinforcing the hope thing. It's like, take the next chance. The next one, you're rebels, aren't you? She's kind of trying to become like the cheerleader, the leader for the group, I guess.
That's why they're trying to portray her anyway.
Right, exactly. Then we also get to see the other thing I was excited about in that whole scene. We get to see X-Wings return, more X-Wings, and they're in space this time.
They're not just hanging around.
Yeah, it looks like they're attacking some sort of smaller Imperial space station. It could even be the battle that is referred to in the opening crawl for the original Star Wars, for A New Hope. It says the rebels have won their first victory against the Imperial fleet or whatever, the Empire. So it could be that.
That actually could be like the ending like scenes for could like, be, this yeah. film.
Could be the last, like the big battle scene at the end. That could be what we're seeing. All right, so let's get to my favorite scene. And the whole thing, what I like to call Enter the Dark Lord, which is nobody makes a better entrance than Darth Vader, and I love that scene. He comes out of the mist, the fog that we were kind of talking about, the industrial. He's walking with a purpose, and he's going right at Krennic.
You pretty much assume that he's just going to straight up choke him, right?
Well, yeah, I think even Brian said you think he's going in there to take him down.
That's what something. It looks like to me. I mean, like, he's not walking over to talk to him. He's walking. It looks like he's walking with a purpose. Like he's going to just fucking chop his head off.
Either that, or he just smacks him, just backhands him,
force slap.
Yeah, but man, just how he walks right out of that—I mean, literally just appears like in 2 seconds out of the fog. You know, he's just like, I don't know. To me, that's the money shot. You know, it's no more half shot from the back. People making fun of it. You can't deny that's freaking Darth Vader.
Right. Exactly. Right there. Yep.
It's not just a dude in the dark. Darth Vader's costume.
Yeah.
It's clearly Darth Vader.
Yeah, it is. That's Darth Vader, dude. There's no...
He didn't have, like, just random impersonators going around like dictators do.
No, but that would be kind of cool if he did, but no. I mean, that's Darth Vader, dude. To use the cuss word, that's fucking it.
Okay.
The other part, though, of the scene is they don't reveal any of his dialogue. We know James Earl Jones has come back and has recorded dialogue for him, obviously. He's not just standing there. So, and I'm okay with that. I don't know. Are you guys okay with Vader not having any lines so far in any of the trailers?
Yeah, that's fine. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, even if he didn't have lines in the movie, it'd be a funny sort of thing. Just like, oh, his voice box isn't working. He'll be fine. He'll sign language involved.
Yeah, Vader sign languaging. Yeah, right. Force choking. I don't know.
Just writing with the lightsaber on walls.
Were you okay with it, Brian?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because I think it's one of those, if you give away too much,
Yeah.
That, I mean, any of Vader's dialogue that comes out,
yeah,
I think it's going to give away the movie.
Yeah, well, also, you don't know how much dialogue he actually has in the film.
My guess is
he only has, like, 3 or 4 scenes. You probably don't want to add too much of that to the trailer from the get-go.
And you know, that's what... And they're trying to make this movie not about Vader.
Yeah.
So, as soon as Vader had any lines come out in a trailer or something...
Yeah.
That's all anybody would talk about. Yeah. They wouldn't talk about any of the other characters. It'd be all about Vader. Did you see Vader's lines? Did you hear Vader's lines? What do you think he means by the power? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. That'd be what everybody was talking about. So, I think it's their way to get everybody to go see it. They're like, yep, he's in it. We're not going to show you what he does until you go see it. Yeah. I think we might actually see a TV spot after the movie comes out.
With maybe a line.
With a line or two from Vader.
Like a week or so after it's out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that even maybe a day or two before it comes out just to get people stoked.
Yeah.
Even a word would get people stoked.
Because we did hear, like, in the... Was it the sneak peek trailer or the teaser trailer?
There's one and where you hear, like, his breathing.
And you hear his breathing?
Breathing, yeah. Yeah, it gets everybody going.
Yeah.
To me, I don't think they showed anything because, like, you...
I think it's probably the only time that a character that people recognize the breathing.
Oh, yeah.
Even before the voice. Like, you hear that breathing and you're like even as a kid, you know?
It's iconic things for
Vader. Like, who is this?
Yeah, well, you did that, man, right? You had your lightsaber in your hand, and then you would imitate
that. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, it's one of the only people that
breathing. There's no other character that has, like, that sort of, like, breathing issues and is, like, iconic.
Well, it's creepy. It used to be creepy. I mean, now it's everybody does it because it's cool, but it still gives you a little bit of shivers every once in a while.
Asthma.
So cool.
But it is. It's freaking cool. I'm also okay with it not having lines because, like you guys, I think they're going to use Vader sparingly. I don't think he's going to be overused. So when he does show up, something big is going to happen or something bigger or major is going to happen. So
yeah, you expect him to be like a critical character at some point or at the very least kind of in terms of setting up.
Yeah, he's not going to show up later on. He's not going to show up when they make lunch. You know what I mean? He's
not just going to be hanging out in the break room drinking coffee. What was the...
He's like, oh, Galactic Cupcake Day.
did you see those new TIE 85s?
Wasn't there a unit for a while? It's like Vader's like brother, like office manager or something. Oh,
Chad
like that.
Vader.
Yeah. You don't want to have that sort of setup.
No, so I think
it kind of destroys the mystique of it a bit.
Precisely. So, yeah. But yeah, that was definitely, for me, the highlight of the whole trailer.
Another thing that I was going to tell you, what I think happens in this...
Yeah.
Is you're going to see these rebels go up against the fleet with Vader in it.
Oh, you see Vader in his tie? Like these three rebels?
Vader's going to leave the fight to go after Leia's ship. And that's how you see it tie into the...
Oh, and that's how they... Well, good.
You know what I'm saying?
Good, they'd have to get the transmission out, but yeah. Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying? Like,
have you done with those plans?
Right, so you'll see that to tie it in even more. You're going to see the
Star Destroyer
go after the other ship, like the ship that's transporting her.
Yeah, the Rebel Runner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. It's possible. So, but anyway, I could probably talk all.
Maybe we'll see it from the other side.
I could probably talk. Well, yeah, that would be cool too.
You see the same scene sort of thing, but from like a different perspective.
Different perspective, yeah. Uh-huh. That'd be kind of sweet. But anyway, I could talk about Vader all day long, so we'll move on because it'll turn into a 3-hour podcast. Save the Rebellion, Save the Dream. It's kind of the end of the trailer. And I know you don't like his raspy voice.
Kind of hero sort of moment to it, doesn't it?
But we get to see it's Saul Guerrero, and we actually see him earlier in the trailer, and he's... Again, he's Darth Vader, but he's Darth Vader made of junk.
He's part robot.
Yeah, they showed like a lot of the prosthetics and
like even his legs aren't legs. They look like spatulas or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a really cheap version of like what you see Darth Maul have in the Clone Wars.
Yes, very much so.
Except like he actually also does have sort of a... He does have, like, a voice thing or, like, a lung thing like Vader does as well.
Right. The machine is keeping him alive, and that's why he has the strained voice that Brian can't stand. But to me, I think he's...
He's the good guy with asthma.
I know. But I don't know. What do you guys think so far? And then I'll dig a little deeper. What do you?
So far, I'm kind of okay with the character, not seeing too much of him. But I do like Forrest Whitaker as an actor. So, I mean, he definitely has the potential to do a really decent role here if, you know, the characters are written for it.
Okay. Brian?
I hope he's the one that dies.
Without the voice.
I hope he's the one that dies.
Really? You hate him that much?
Yeah. I really, like, because you know how they say some rebels had to give their lives for this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I really hope he's one of them.
You don't like just the voice thing.
I just don't like him. Oh, okay. I don't like him. I when I heard he signed on, I was like, oh, good. And then I saw that, I'm like, oh, no.
You would have rather seen him in action.
Or something other than...
I'm pretty convinced. I'm convinced now. Before, I was hoping we'd see him in action. I don't think we're going to see him in action. I think he's the old wise dude in the movie. The old wise rebellion leader.
Well, here's what
former
I think.
Leader.
What I think is going to happen is I think it's going to be... He's going to come up with the plan because he's the old guy telling him what to do.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go into action and they're going to get in a pinch.
Yeah.
And he's going to come out of nowhere and he's going to cause the distraction that gets them out of the scenario. And then he's going to die and he's going to bring them all together to charge the Empire.
So kind of how Obi-Wan dies in episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I really want to see him against Vader, and here's why. Because I think visually, I think he is Darth Vader's parallel opposite. Because Vader is...
And that they are both being kept alive by machines.
By machines. They have a connection through the Clone Wars. If you know the character from Clone Wars, Anakin Skywalker trains this guy as a kid. And while Anakin's just a Jedi.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have a background. And visually, like I said, they're parallels of each other, you know. But unlike Vader's suit, which is state of the art for the Empire and is pristine, his is like he represents the rebels as the ragtag bunch. He's literally put together whatever spare parts he can find.
Mm-hmm. But he has no Force abilities.
No, I know he doesn't. But I would still like to see the two, even if it's a 2-second match, you know, or 1-minute match. Between the two, because
I wouldn't mind seeing them interact. I don't know about a match because I just don't think that would be a match between Vader and him. That's what I'm like. So I can.
But to me, it's representing the two. They're the same, but they're two sides of the same coin in a way. One being rebels, the other being the Empire. So
quick question. With what trailers we've seen released so far, do you think Disney's done a good enough job kind of explaining where this sits in the timeline to the mass public?
No, and that's my only problem so far, is by now I would think there was somebody, it was a fan-made trailer where, or it might have even been, I think they were playing it at Celebration, and I don't know why they haven't played it in one of the trailers, where it starts off with the crawl from episode 4, and all of a sudden it stops where it says Death Star. And it starts doing the, you know, like the screen, the screen, like, you know, like the TV interference stuff. And like then it goes into a Rogue One trailer. And I don't understand why they're not doing that, because that's perfect. You know, and
it's a very subtle way of trying to clue where the timeline is here.
Yeah, it's going to let us three know, okay? The average fan, I think, is going to know, but the general audience... There's a lot of people that are confused right now. Where's Rey? Where's Finn? Is this episode 8? What is this?
Yeah, I mean, I think for like your daughter, like Gabby, or
Gabby's
a lot
asked.
Of younger fans, like that really just started getting into with like the last film. It might be kind of a throwback. It's like, oh, I was really kind of hoping to see that character because that was the character I liked. I don't know who these people are.
Well, yeah, and even the average fan's going to be confused, or the general audience is going to be confused or be like, where's Rey at? Where's Finn? This doesn't make any sense. Why is Vader alive again? How did they resurrect him? You know, those kinds of questions are going to be asked. So yeah, unless they're going to start doing it in the TV spots heavily. I don't know.
Have they been doing a lot of TV spots with like the actors and such yet?
Not yet. I mean, all I've seen on TV so far is there's been a kids commercial for toys.
Yeah.
For Rogue One, and then that's it. So, I don't know. That is a good point, though, Aaron. I don't know. Brian, what do you think about the lack of tie-in? I mean... If you try to put yourself in the casual fan, even...
Well, I mean, it's... So, like, we go back to Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron actually got to see all the Star Wars in order.
Yeah.
Like, the actual order, like, episode 1, 2, 3, 3 4, 4
and 5,
like,
6.
Yeah. He actually got to see them all in order. For him... It kind of all makes sense. But you take somebody like my daughter or your daughter, mm-hmm. who goes and sees episode 7 first, and now sees ones that falls between 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. I mean,
we're right before 4, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it's like, how are they going to follow
the timeline?
The timeline,
right?
As what is what? You know, I mean, my daughter's seen all of them now.
Yeah.
So I mean, she likes them all. But had she not, and she just started going to the movies, and I wasn't the dad that I am, mm-hmm. and she goes and sees this next one, she'd be like, what is this?
Yeah.
Because she hasn't seen episode 4, 5, and 6. She doesn't know who Vader is. Who's this guy? Who's this, you know? She won't know the time.
Also, in terms of tone, this seems like a very different sort of film. Like, it seems very less force lightsaber fight sort of thing, and more like kind of covert tactical military.
It almost seems like a war movie.
Yeah,
it is going to be a war movie, I'm pretty sure.
Like, yeah. like a
as war as you can get anyway in Star Wars. You
yeah, yeah, almost like the what's the one where we storm the shores?
Well, Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it almost has that kind of a feel.
Yeah, it does. Just because of the beaches and the storming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's just go right into, real quickly, just a real final thought and grade on the trailer itself. Brian, your final thought on the Rogue One trailer?
I don't think we needed it.
No.
I
think we've seen enough
of it. I'm already sold on the movie. I'm going to go see it, obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't think we needed any extra footage, although I'm always glad to see extra footage. I don't think we need anything else after this, especially. Mm-hmm. But I'll give it a B+, only because I don't think we needed it. It wasn't a ton of stuff, new stuff that we saw in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have gave it an A, but we really don't need it.
Okay.
That's the only reason.
That's fine. I will go on and say I like this trailer only from unlike the past trailers where it was more about the music and the action and just the quick scenes. This trailer was more about the story and really telling what the story is going to be about. It's going to be about a father and a daughter. It's going to be about the rebellion against the Empire. It's going to have a little bit of Darth Vader in there, but we kind of get the feel for what the movie's really going to be about, where the past trailers were, we all know what it's about, but at least you got some detail this time. So from that perspective, I give the thing an A, just because for that, for no other reason, because we finally get some real, you know, some definite story to it. It's good about
it. Yep, I can see that.
Aaron?
I'd probably give it a B. I mean, it adds a couple new scenes here and there. And like, to your point, it does give some background thing. For some of the characters, but at the same time, I don't think it's a particularly memorable trailer. Okay. I don't think it really hypes up the film too heavily either. So, but it's interesting and it's not bad.
Yeah, I think the other trailers are more moving because of the music.
Though it does get points for not having the siren.
Yes, there's no siren. Yeah,
that was probably the highlight of this one.
But
and you're right, it's not as memorable as like episode 7 where you had We're Home,
right?
And everybody gives you goosebumps on your arms. Nothing in this gives me goosebumps. Not even seeing Vader. Not even seeing Vader gave me goosebumps, but it was just like, cool. He's you know, coming out of the mist, and I think it would have been better in that scene had you seen not him coming through, but all of a sudden you just see the red lightsaber light up.
Yeah.
And then you see his outline.
Watch him walk.
And then you've been like, ooh. I mean, just talking about it gives me goosebumps. Like that kind of thing would have.
Yeah,
but just seeing him walk through at a fast pace, like gonna go beat some ass,
it's cool.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? Real quick, you can find us on just go to Google, type in the number 4 Midwest Guys. You'll find our Twitter page or Facebook page. Do like our Facebook page. We don't have a whole lot of Facebook likes currently. I like
101, I think.
Yeah, only 101. I'd like to see some more likes. We do post other things other than our podcast there. Occasionally we find, you know, stories that we find on, whether it's a comic book movie, Star Wars, or even other things that we follow and we talk about. We try to update our Facebook page fairly frequently. So get out there and like us on our Facebook page, please, which You can also just go to facebook.com/4MidwestGuys and find us as well. But everything can be found on Google. I am contemplating starting a blog page where we can kind of put together our all of our podcasts from a certain genre, like all of our Game of Thrones, our Star Wars, Rebels, our Marvel, DC, and that way you have one page for each category kind of thing. And we also have a YouTube account, which is popular, starting to get some real views and some feedback. We love the feedback. Please keep the feedback coming, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, or through the YouTube posts. We'd like to see that as well. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, Brian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Yep, no problem.
And this is B. Willie saying, may the Force be with you always.